Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Derry Moten, and thank you for joining us here on Abundant Life Podcast. Today's message is from our brother and co-laborer, Pastor Edward Anderson, as he preaches a tremendous message called Be Fruitful and Multiply from our Sunday worship service, which was on Christmas Day. So tune in, listen close, take out a piece of paper and take some notes, because there's going to be an awesome revelation coming forth in this message by Pastor Edward Anderson. God bless you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Father, I thank you for Jesus. And we know, we realize if it wasn't him, we would not be here today. So we thank you for that. And we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And as I yield to him right now, I pray he have the preeminence. We know he governs every facet of the service. So I pray now he speak through me to your people, to edify, to encourage them. Let them know that they're on the very edge of a miracle in their lives, Father God. Because when Christ came, he came to give them life. An abundant life. So right now, I declare and decree every hindering spirit is broken, and they're open to receive from you the engrafted word that can change and transform their lives. We give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when I was sitting there, I felt the Spirit, and then my favorite, now I got a lot of favorites, but Sister Rosina did something that was just right in line with the Spirit. Because during this season, there's a lot of heavy hearts. A lot of people are going through things of grief and pain. And she got up and she interceded. I felt it. And that's what God is saying doing this season as well, too. For those who don't have loved ones or, you know, they're being alone this year, give them a phone call. Let them know about Jesus, that he does care for them in a supernatural way and that he loves them. Amen. Just reach out to them. If you want to get ahead of me, in your iPhone, your iPad, your Bible, go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. And if you have a Bible like mine, I got a little doohickey. You can put it also in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 28. Amen? And we're just going to explore the word of God. I know that I won't keep you long because you won't let me keep you long. I know you got your turkey in the oven. I know. You'll give me about 5-10 minutes, good minutes. After that, you ready to go, I know. So we're going to get into the word because I just thank God for this day of celebration with the family. Amen. This family, this body of believers, we're going to leave and celebrate with our family as well too. But God wants you to know that he loves you. He loves you. Really, you can't comprehend his love, and I can't either. We try to, but it's beyond our comprehension. That's the kind of love he has for us. Amen. When I was a little kid, I would visit my granddad in Texas. A couple times I was forced to go because they wanted to train me and instill in me some principles of hard work and labor. Now, I'm a city slicker. Getting on that farm is something totally different from me. But I learned a lot from my granddad and how he handled things in life. And I would get out every once in a while, and I would take these long walks. My granddad had 100 acres of land. So I was walking. I mean, I walked for a long time. Then I would come across this one little particular plot of land, and it said Anderson's Cemetery. I was like, what is this? What in the world? We had our own little cemetery, too. So, you know, a little curious kid, I would walk by, and I would look at one thing only. I would look at the headstones. And I'll look at the markers. And one thing that every headstone and marker had was a name. Like you have a name. But then I got real interested in the dates. There was a beginning date and there was an ending date. But on every headstone, there was one little thing that identified every person that was buried there. A dash mark. It said, this date, dash, this date. That dash mark represented everything that person did before they left. The dash mark. If you just take 1 second right now, think about your dash mark while you're still here, because you're on this side of the dash. But at some point, we're going to be on this side of the dash mark. What have you done with the dash mark? Have you utilized everything that God has given you in this dash mark? Or are we waiting for some special day to break out and then begin to use those things that God has given us? Our pastor's been teaching a dynamic message about stewardship. And stewardship is essential for us to do what God has mandated for us to do in the earth. You ever think about why God, when you got born again, you just didn't go to heaven? I mean, that is our home, right? So when you accepted Christ, why did Jesus, boop, bye? He left us here for a reason. Genesis 1, verse 11 says, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Verse 12 says, and the earth brought forth grass, an herb yielding seed after his kind, and tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was what? It was good. Everything that God does is good. All God will give you in life is what I call seed. You can't see the seed from where you're at probably, but that's all God gonna give you is seed. In 6 days, God created everything. Everything you enjoy in life, God created in those 6 days in the garden. He don't need to create anything else, because everything he created was created in those 6 days. Now, I'm going to mess you up with this one. Computers were created in the garden. Cars were created in the garden. Your house was created in the garden. You said, what? They didn't have cars. God put seed in the earth. He put everything you needed in the earth for what we need right now. Seed. That's all God was going to give you, seed. Now, as a process, my granddad said, it's important about seed, though. It is the soil you planted in the ground. So how is the soil for the seed to go in? I won't go through this whole thing. There's 6 layers of soil. I won't go into all that. I learned that in farming. But it's key for you to water the soil. For that soil to get proper nutrients, and also light is important to the soil and the temperature. You can't go plant seed down this cold weather. It's going to die. So God gave us seed. Then God gave us a time frame. Go to Genesis 8, verse 22. A principle here. Genesis 8, 22. Remember, God utilizes principles and laws to govern everything that we do. Amen? In Genesis 8, 22, what does it say? It says, as long as the earth remains, it's going to be what? Seed time and what? Harvest. Seed time and harvest. Now, I'm going to say for myself, I'm kind of impatient. I wanted yesterday. You do too, right? I can prove it to you. How many like popcorn? Oh, yeah, right? Okay. When I was a kid, it wasn't microwavable popcorn. I had this big black skillet, and you pour these kernels inside, and you shake, and you keep on shaking, right? Y'all remember that? Young folks have no clue what they're talking about. They have a clue. But it took time for them kernels to pop, right? God saying, you know what? There's going to be time you plant seed, and before manifestation of harvest time, it's going to be time. That's a dash mark that we see, the time. And no one has the patience and time that God wants us to have. So we go through certain things in life because God's going to make sure that he enhanced your life. He enhanced that seed that he put in you. There's someone feeding you, you have no idea. How many mothers in here remember the birthing process when they got pregnant? Remember that? Okay, let me ask you a question then. How did you know you were pregnant? That's a good one, huh? Well, my wife came to me and said, guess what? I'm expecting. There was no evidence. I didn't see not one sign of evidence that she was pregnant. But she knew she was pregnant. So you should know you're pregnant with something that God's giving you. The reason why I found out she was pregnant and believed her is because we had this thing called an ultrasound. Then I saw a little peanut inside there. Then I believed that it was time. There was seed in there. But it took time, that seed, to grow. Amen? Now, in a marriage relationship, the husband has a role and the wife has a role in that child, right? And before the child was born, my role simply was, because she was growing, now so the belly's coming now, my role simply is keep the car filled up with gas because I get into the hospital, right? That was an easy role I had, right? Well, I failed miserably. She said, it's time. I said, uh-oh, I don't have no gas. So we had to take a detour to the gas station before we get to the hospital. So my role was easy, right? Well, God made it. Well, her role should be easy too, because that's what God did. God said the woman should bring forth seed. Amen? It was kind of interesting, though. She was doing real good. But they moved her from one room to the next room. And as they transported her to her private room, she said something to me. I was like, Lord, I need your help real bad now. You know what she said? I can't do this. You know what I said? How many of you guys watch cartoons? You know some cartoons, that little thing pops up on their head, that little thought idea, it pops up on their head, and it's written out. In my head, I was like, if you can't do it, who gonna do it? Because I cannot help you with this. But God designed her to do it. Because God gave her what? Seed. You in Genesis, go to verse number 26 to 28. Everyone there? You turn right, you should be right there. In verse 26, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image and after what? Our likeness. Let them have what? Dominion. Over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every what? Creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them, and then God did what? God blessed them, and God said unto them, be what? Fruitful, and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over everything that liveth, that moveth upon the earth. So God gave what? A dominion mandate for humanity. That's why the Bible says that all the earth remains, it groans for what? The manifestation of the church, really, the sons of God. Because God has given us dominion. When Rosina prayed, she took dominion. When she prayed, she took dominion. You know why? Because she understands something about prayer. That things are subject to her because God has given her what? Dominion over the earth. If we don't use dominion, then guess what? Things will begin to dominate you. It will dominate you. I found out why most believers don't utilize the seed that God give them. Go to Zechariah. Zechariah is in the middle of the Bible. Turn to your left. You go to Malachi, turn left, you'll find Zechariah. Amen. Zechariah. You guys waiting for the preacher to get there now, huh? Obadiah. Zechariah chapter 4. Everyone there? Go to verse 10. What does it say? It says, "For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see." Who shall despise the day of what? Small things. You can't despise what God put within you. You have no idea how it's going to grow and nurture and be what God all intended for it to be. I was talking to my sister one day about our outreach program, and it was kind of frustrating because we want to be over here. We want to be this, the apple. But all God going to give you is the seed. He's not going to give you a finished product. But he will give you seed. He'll give you seed to sow. And then what he said he'll do, he said, "I will multiply your seed sown." But it's our job to do what with that seed? Cultivate it. Nurture it. Amen. Once it's been cultivated and nurtured, we get a finished product. Now, I'm going to say this. How many of you guys ever got a diamond ring from your husband, your boyfriend, or whatever it may be? Amen. Thank you, Sister Regina. Praise the Lord. You were excited about that ring, weren't you? Now, I'm going to tell you, the ring came from where? It came from the earth. Anything that God does, Satan will imitate. She got a real diamond, but Satan will give you a cubic zirconia. He always imitates the original. That's what he does. In praise and worship, praise and worship was designed for one person and one person only. The Lord Jesus. Now, we get songs. I'm not against songs. I'm not against R&B, whatever. But praise and worship started in heaven. Then it came down to the earth realm because Satan, he couldn't take it. He wanted to praise and worship. But no. Only goes to the original. So now everything we have now is imitation stuff going on. God is the original of everything. If you want to know your purpose, you got to go to the master and find out why he created you. I have no clue why God gave me Aaliyah. But I know it was seed given, and my job is to do what? Nurture that seed. Her job is to go to God and find out what her purpose is. My job is to lead, guide, nurture her, and also to show her the way. And then once she goes that way, her seed will begin to develop. That's one of her seed gifts, signing now. You know, I told her, "Leah, you're going to college." Yeah, you're going to college. Whether you like it or not, you're going to college. How many here ever told their kids that? You're going to college. Right? You're going to college. Right? Absolutely, you're going to college. But then I prayed. I said, "Lord, what do you have for her?" Because she loves to act. She loves to do all these different things, right? And now I said, "Lord, okay, what do you have for her? Not what do I have for her." Let me say this now. It's outlandish, okay? But can I say it to the family? Okay. We tell our kids to go to college because why? To get a good, and well, okay, let's back up a little bit. Let's back up. Now, I am a professional student. I'm a 35-year senior in college. 35 years, because I didn't finish yet, you know. But we tell our kids to go to college because we want them to get a good, there we go, good job, right? Okay, good job. But that ain't the real reason. Want to tell you the real reason why? Because you want your kids to make some money. You want them to make money. And we tell them to do that, and we get away from God's ordained purpose for their life. Because we want them to do what? Make some money. What if it wasn't God's will for them to go to college? They had to spend 4 years toiling, doing things that wasn't God's will. Now, I'm going to tell you, I loved football. And I had my life lined up step by step. So I thought. At 13, God says, you're going to be a pastor. Not this kid ain't. Not me, Lord. So at 13, I know God's perfect will for my life. Right? But I'm getting myself ready for the NFL. Why? Not even for the adulation of the crowd. It's all about the Benjamins, baby. It's all about the Benjamins. I need to make some money. I wasted all that time chasing that dream when I knew God's purpose for my life. How I know that? Because God put a seed in me a long time ago. He put a seed in me. And guess what? I didn't nurture that seed that he put within me. I did my own thing. So all those years I've wasted, how many souls I didn't reach because of doing my own thing? I was chasing what I call mammon, the system. And that's what the enemy tries to make us do, which is chase his dream for your life. And I was in hot pursuit for that dream too. Then I got off and went to college. And I was in a boom of the Silicon Valley. Who knew where the Silicon Valley's at? I was the first one over there. I'm like, Lord, thank you, Jesus. I'm here. I have arrived. Because I'm still chasing money, y'all. And I had a perfect job. I work for IBM. I like, this is beautiful. This is wonderful. And my roommate said, Ed, you want to change jobs and go over here? I went to Applied Materials. I was like, oh, this is even better. More money. But God stopped me from being chasing the money dream. He said, Edward, I want you to stop working there. I want you to work over here making less money. You know what I said? Get behind me, Satan. Why would God say that to me? No. Well, the seed was what? You're going to be a pastor. That was a seed. Well, you got to put your faith out there too. And if you don't, sometimes God will force you to put your faith out there. So I went from a job making, buku money, Regina. I was making bucks. To making $6.50, y'all. I was like, Lord, this can't be you. This cannot be the Lord. I just got married. I'm like, Lord, no. I want to buy a house. I want to do this. I want to do that. And you know what God told me? Whatever you thought you can do, there, I'll do it on $6.50 an hour. I was like, yeah, right, Lord. I know y'all deep. I'm not deep. I want to see things laid out for me. But if you nurture that seed, because keep in mind, you got to keep your faith out there. Your faith got to be out there. Make your faith work for you. Let your faith be your servant. See, sometimes we think that money's the answer, but it is not. Your faith is the answer. I said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. I went kicking and screaming doing it too, boy. I tell you, I was mad. I got in that job and I quit 3 times. This is God, though. Every time I quit, they brought me back. Who does that? That's God. Fast forward 26 years later, the jobs in Silicon Valley, they dried up. But God knew what he was doing. I've been in the job secure. My job I have now, never had any layoffs. Always turned to profit because God knew what he was doing. And God knows what he's doing in your life too, saints. So if God's giving you a seed idea to do something, you need to do it. How many of you guys ever got an idea from God and you never did it? And now you probably sit on TV like, Lord, that was my idea. Because all God's going to give you is seed. Your job is to nurture the seed. Your job is to do what? Water the seed. Then God will do what? He'll give you the increase. He alone will give you increase. God's design is for us to increase, not to diminish. So watch this scenario real quick. What are we made out of? In God's creation process, what did he make us out of? Dirt. You got that part? I'm going somewhere. This is going to take you to really comprehend this. God made us out of what? Out of what? Okay, dirt. God made us out of dirt. And then he said in John, I put a permanent seed in you. Oh, yeah, I missed it already. Let's go to there. Go to 1 John. Go to 1 John. Go to 1 John. Put your eyes on it. Sometimes when your eyes see it, your heart will receive it. 1 John chapter 3. It's in the back of the book. Are you there? Verse 9 says, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed, where is that? It remaineth where? In him. If the seed remains in you and you dirt, what should happen next? Huh? She said, you ought to water it and it'll what? Do what? It'll grow. It'll produce whatever God told you it'll produce. Because God said, I cannot lie, nor can I alter the thing going out of my lips. If I said something to you, it's going to happen. God is a God of destiny, y'all. God is a God of completion. God is a God of perfection. He said, I will perfect everything that concerns you. Whatever dream you have, God said, I'll perfect that dream. Only if you give it to him. And do your part, which is to do what? Water the word. Water it. So God says, I want you to be fruitful, multiply, and do what? I gave you the scripture now. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and out of those four laws, then you'll have dominion. Be fruitful. God wants you to live a fruitful and productive life. That's God's perfect will for you. Fruitfulness. Go to Psalms chapter 92. I'm going to show you something because I heard this pastor say something that really disturbed me one day. He said, I'm going to retire after so many years from preaching. I was like, you are? I said, where's that found at? He couldn't give me scripture, y'all. He couldn't give me scripture because there's no place in the Bible that says you retire from ministry. And I'm not talking about this pulpit, man. I'm talking about ministry because you're a minister no matter what. You should produce no matter what age you are. Matter of fact, the older I got, the better I got as far as ministry, I think. Psalms 92 says this, verse 13. This is why it's so important to come to the house of God. Those that he had planted in the house of God, the Lord, shall flourish in the courts of our God. And they should do what? They shall still bring forth fruit in their old age. They'll do it in their old age. I expect to still produce when I'm old. Because that's God's word. When without witnessing, Sister Mary, she knew exactly her role was. She said, Pastor Ed, I'm interceding. I'm interceding. She knew what she's supposed to do. What's she doing? Bringing forth fruit in her old age. She was making her hearts right for us to go do what we had to do. Why? Because nobody does anything by themselves. No man lives to himself, no man dies to himself. We're all part of the body of Christ. Amen? So we got to understand that God wants us to produce even in our old age. He doesn't want us to just wither away. He wants to utilize you. Every gift, every talent he's given you, everything, utilize it. Be fruitful. multiply. Go to Luke 13. Luke chapter 13. We're going to read a couple of verses there. And I know what the passage is saying, but I want you to see that God does not want you to be barren in life. Barrenness is an unacceptable state in the kingdom of God. He wants you to always produce. Amen. Luke 13, beginning in verse 6. Now, I know this passage is not talking about the fig tree, really. What it's talking about here is actually the Jewish nation. I'm only using this as an illustration about being barren. Being barren. Amen. Luke 13 says, and he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereon, and he did what? He found none. Verse 7, then he said unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and found none, so he cut it down. Why cumbereth the ground? And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dug it, and it shall bear fruit. Well, if it is, does not, then after that thou shalt do what? Cut it down. See, this person expected to be fruit on the fig tree. God expects for you to have fruit on your tree. He said, if you don't have fruit, he said, just cut it down, because why? It's wasting time of the farmer. It's wasting energy. It's wasting money, and it's taking up space of the soil. It's just sitting there, not doing what it was designed to do, which is to do what? To bear fruit. To bear fruit. God designed us that way, to increase in the earth realm. That's God's perfect will for our lives. There's five areas that God wants us to be productive in. Five areas. One area is definitely spiritually. You agree with that? In your soul. The Bible says that it is not good for the soul to be without knowledge. Third area, in your body. God wants you to be healthy. Now, back in the day, I had a six-pack, and now all I got is a pack. I don't know what happened, but time will cause this temple to go through some reconstruction process. But God wants your body to be healthy. You know why? To keep you here. If your body's not healthy, how can you actually do what God told you to do? Because you're more concerned about your body than doing God's will. The fourth area is relationships. God wants you to have good relationships. I need you. I need everybody in this room, because you're part of the body of Christ. And then God wants you also to produce financially, resources. Amen? Those five areas, God wants you to be very productive in those areas. Now, when God gave me a seed idea, was to go to Haiti and be on a mission project. And when you get to Haiti, you got to look at the people in Haiti like, Lord, you sent me to the wrong place again. I used to say, Lord, why you give me the hard project? Give me something easy, Lord. You know, Sister Regina went 1 year too, and she'll tell you, boy, that's work. And God said something to me on my first trip. He said, Edward, you're going to help rebuild Haiti. And again, I said, get behind me, Satan. Ain't no way in the world I'm going to help rebuild Haiti. Well, God gave me a seed idea. And then he watched to see would I even be effective or even try to do what he told me to do. What has God told you to do that you haven't done? Or even tried to do? Because God watches every step along the way. So I kept going back every year, multiple times every year. He said, okay, now I want you to help build a school. I was like, Lord, okay, I'm doing missionary work. How can I help build a school? See, we look at things differently than the way God looks at things. Let me ask you a question. How many ever fly in an airplane before? What's the first thing you do when you get on the plane? Somebody said, pray. Somebody said, I pray. Put on a seatbelt. I do something a little different. I know about aircraft. In cold weather like this, I walk down the aisle intentionally, I look out the windows. I'm looking for one thing in cold weather. I'm looking on the wings for ice. I'm looking because I'm waiting for now the de-icer to come to eliminate that ice. Because plane only flies ergonomically correct when there's no ice. So I see things different from you when I fly. Some folks want to get there. I want to get there safely. So again, we got to ask God, what do you see, God? Let me see things from your glorious perspective. Open my spiritual eyes to see the way you see. And that's why Pastor Derry been talking about wisdom. It is that God-given ability to see things from his perspective and then do what? Implement his will into the situation. God's will, not our will. And God will help you do that. Again, as long as the earth remains, there's going to be seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. Be patient. This church right here was a seed idea that was given. You started off where? And look where you're at today. It was a seed. It was a seed planted in our pastor's life. All he had was a seed idea. And now look at us. But we're not even complete yet. We're still growing. We are still growing because of what God said. Amen. Go to St. John, chapter 15. St. John, chapter 15. And we're going to look at the process. Process. Now, I don't know about you, but I like miracles to happen in my life. I like miracles, Sister Regina. I mean, I messed up one day and God turns around the next day. You know? But unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. The Bible says first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn. God deals with process a lot of times. And he does that because God's trying to train us and give us character. But don't stop praying for the miracles. I don't. I keep, Lord, give me the miracle. Please give me the miracle. But most of the time, it's a process. So in St. John chapter 15, it says, I am the true vine. My father's a husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he does what? Taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, and it may bring forth what? More fruit. Now, the purging process is sometimes a painful process. With me, it was because he said, well, you got the wrong attitude a lot of times, son. God gave me my seed wife for a reason. Without my wife, I thought I was perfect, y'all. I didn't make no mistakes until my seed came and said, you make a lot of mistakes, son. A lot of time, God gives your wife and your kids to show you your flaws in life. That could be your purging process. And mine was painful, y'all. I mean, very painful. One day we went to, on our second honeymoon, went to Cancun. My wife is very adventurous. I'm not. I'm kind of on a borderline of fearful of certain things. You know why? I can't swim that well, y'all. I can't. But I'm going to do it before Jesus comes back. I'm going to learn how to swim. So my wife had this brilliant idea to go swim with Flipper. You know who Flipper was? Remember Flipper? Okay, the dolphins. So I know I can't swim, right? So I did a stall tactic. You know what it means? I was going real slow, like, oh, baby, yeah, you know, I don't know. I knew what time they closed, and she was getting dressed, and she was ready to go. She had a bathing suit on. She was running through the jungle. She was going through the jungle. She tried to get to that take so bad, and we got there, and guess what? It was closed. I was like, thank you, Jesus. And she was so mad at me. And I'm telling you, I got a bad attitude sometime, y'all. I mean, I had a bad attitude. It getting better, but it was so bad. But again, God's pruning certain things off your life, right? I said, she mad at me? I got her way out of Cancun. I don't know how she getting back home. I flew her out here. I don't know how she getting back home. And at that point, God said, you know what? It's you I'm working on. That's the pruning process, saints. And no one wants to be pruned. Then he says here in verse 3, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except ye abide in me. We can't do anything without staying connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may think you can because of your education, because of who you associate with, but that's not the case. You need to understand that you can do nothing without the Lord. Nothing, not one thing you can do. King Nebuchadnezzar thought that he was in charge, but he wasn't. And God let him know, you're not really in charge. I put you there for a reason, but now, since you think you're in charge, for 7 years, guess what you're gonna be? An animal. Until you understand that I'm in charge. God controls every aspect of life, saints. This past election, people getting all worked up over Trump being in office. All worked up. Why are you getting worked up for? Don't you know that the king's heart is in God's hand? He can turn it any way he wants to. It does not matter who's in office. I checked out heaven the other day, and God's still on the throne. He controls everything. Don't worry about who's in office. Don't forget the White House. Think about God's house. Heaven has not changed one iota. Let me tell you, when Satan thought he's running things, he found out he was not running things. God was in control. And God would always be in control. So abide in him, saints. Stay connected to the vine. All the nutrients run through him to get to you. Verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Again, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be what? Done unto you. Herein is my Father what? Glorified. Don't you want to bring glory to God? Don't you want God to be glorified by everything you say, everything that you do? Abide in him. Abide in God's work and understand that God has given you multiple things to do in the earth realm. Now, how does it work? Let me give you an example, and we're going to close out. Brother Lorenzo is a musician. You agree with that? And I say a very good one, too. I don't know what y'all got to say, but I say he's good. Amen? All right. So God gave our brother Lorenzo a seed gift. Amen? Well, if he decides to go and produce that gift, he's trying to multiply it. Amen? Multiply. Right? So therefore, he'll get a master CD, and he'll multiply that master CD, and then he'll do what? He'll try to fill the earth up with that CD, right? After he fills it up, he'll subdue the earth, because now all we hear is Lorenzo's music, right? And the last thing he'll do is have dominion, because now guess what? He's dominating that area. Let me give you a better scenario. Let's say, for example, that there's a disease that we have in the earth realm that cannot be cured. Well, God will give a seed idea for cure. Amen? Then he'll do what? He'll multiply that seed idea. You know why? Because he wants to replenish that idea to subdue it. The word subdue simply means to get it under control. Once he gets it under control, then guess what? He has dominated that area of disease. And that's what God's going to use you for. He wants to multiply your gifts, talents, your skills, and your abilities. He wants you to have dominion over those areas in your life to bring glory to his name. God gave a seed idea to my sister Carolyn. Now we're on the same page. I know that's her husband, but her and I are on the same page because I love evangelism. Pulpit ministry, I'll do because they tell me to do it. but I love evangelism. The reason why is because people are hurting. Even in this season right now that we're going to celebrate, which is Jesus with Christ, people are still hurting. But God wants us to go and give that gift that God has put within your heart, that seed gift. Amen? So today when you go home, I know you got still gifts probably under the tree, ready to be unwrapped. But I want you to do something different. I want you to go home today and give the gift that keeps on giving. It's not a diamond. I know that's the slogan, right? But there is a gift that keeps on giving, and his name is Jesus. I want you to package it up in such a way and deliver it that they are so enticed by the gift. And watch what happens when you give it in the correct manner. That gift will keep on giving. That's why God gave us seed, saints. Because God wants to multiply your gift to glorify him. Close your eyes, and we're going to pray. Lord, I'm thankful to you for everything that you've done for us, everything. I'm thankful for the body of Christ, my family of believers here today. God, you're so gracious, so kind. It's really beyond our comprehension how good you really are, but we want to say thank you. Thank you for this time you've given us, God, to celebrate our Savior, our Lord, our Redeemer. We're thankful this day, Father God. We thank you for his redeeming work, for coming down here in earth realm, Father God, just for us, to show us love. Let today be that celebration as we show love to those around us today, God, as we celebrate Christmas, which really is Christ's day. We know he wasn't born this day, but it's still his day. Every day is his day. Let us deliver the package in such a way, God, that lives are changed and transformed, and you are glorified. I thank you, I honor and praise you again for what you're doing in our lives. Perfect those issues, God, those concerns that we have. We want to give you praise, we want to give you glory, we want to give you honor for all these things in Jesus' name.
Wow, praise the Lord. What an awesome message by Pastor Edward Anderson, one of our teaching pastors here at Abundant Life Worship Center. If you'd like to get more information about this message or any of the other messages from any of our teaching series here at Abundant Life Worship Center, please feel free to check out our website at www.alwc.us. Thanks for joining us today. And remember, John 10:10 says, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Always remember, it's Jesus' mission to make sure that you have abundant life, and all we need to do is put our faith in him. Till next time, God bless you.